Father, anoint your people to receive your anointed word. And I thank you for your anointing flowing through the airways, opening the hearts and the eyes of your people that they may receive your word for this time in the mighty name of Jesus. In the book of Acts, chapter 9, verses 15 and 16. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles, and kings, and the children of Israel. I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Our teaching comes today from verses 15. Chosen for a divine mission. Chosen for a divine mission. I want to go back to the book of Exodus. And I want to deal with a man named Moses. We're all familiar with Moses. In Exodus chapter 2, verses 10. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses, and she said, Because I drew him out of the water. What has this to do with our topic? Chosen for divine mission. What I want to show us today is how God actually chooses us for particular things in life. In dealing with Moses, the name Moses means drawn out or to draw from one place to go to another. I want to show you how Moses, his name, which means drawn out, how this is a process that God must do in every person that he has chosen for a divine mission. When you get saved, when you give your heart to Jesus Christ, there is a call that God has specifically for your life. Now, in order for you to come to know what God has called you to do, remember this, the call of salvation is to the world. When those in the world respond to God's call, in turn, God begins to deal with them in reference to why they was actually born into the world and why they was actually born again. I often bring this out. You're not saved just to go to heaven. You're not saved just to keep from going to the lake of fire. You are saved with an eternal purpose in God's mind. And that eternal purpose can only be revealed to you as an individual, as I bring out some principles in this teaching. Chosen for a divine mission. As I stated, the name Moses, which means to draw out. We notice how Pharaoh's daughter drew him from the Nile River onto the land. What is that to do? The first step in God preparing you for the mission you may be chosen to. God, first of all, he drew us from our mother's womb into the world. And then number two, as you read in Exodus chapter 2, verses 15. Now when Moses heard this thing, when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses. But Moses fled. Note this. God is now drawing Moses again. God now drew Moses, allowed Pharaoh's daughter to draw him from the Nile to the land. Then Moses was drawn from Egypt into Midian. Once Moses got to Midian, God then drew him from things and people to a specific place where God can now reveal himself to Moses. What am I saying? Let me make it plain. Chosen for divine mission. God first of all drew you from your mother's womb to come into the world. Then God drew you from the world into His kingdom. You got saved. Then God is now drawing you from things and people that's in the world to a place where He can now reveal Himself, first of all, to you. And once God reveals Himself, as He did to Moses at the burning bush, God made Himself known to Moses before He even told Moses anything about what he was called to do. Before God began to explain to Moses why He drew him from the Nile, why He drew him from Egypt to Midian, and why He drew him from this particular place in Midian to another place in Midian, where he now sees this bush burning with fire, God calls him. Note something. In Exodus chapter 3, verses 4, and when the Lord saw that he, Moses, turned aside the sea, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, Here am I. God is now calling him. See, when you're chosen for a divine purpose or a divine mission, God will first of all call you. Remember that. As I brought out, God drew you from, and God is still drawing you from people. God is still drawing you from situations. God is still in the process of drawing you from things that's been drawing you from Him. Let me repeat that. God is constantly drawing you to Himself. The word Moses means drawn out. That name God was showing us in Moses' life as a whole. God kept drawing Moses from one place to another, from one group of people to another, from one level to another. And in your life as a believer, when you are chosen for a divine mission, there will constantly be a drawing of God to you, or a drawing God is actually pulling you to Himself. To make it plain, God is constantly drawing you from things in the world that He sees is occupying a lot of your time rather than that time being spent with Him. And God got various ways of drawing you from what you become so accustomed to being with. God has a way of drawing you from things you've become so adapted to doing that might not be enhancing your life or even the mission that you've been called to do. So this drawing process will continue in your life even after you come to know what God has called you to do. He's still drawing you from people. He's drawing you from places. He's drawing you from things and objects in this life. Because the ultimate goal is so that you can know Him greater than you know Him now. So chosen for a divine mission, God will call you, number one, which means to separate you. Number two, once God calls you and separates you. Now, in the process of this separation, there are things that God will begin to show you that He wants you to give up. Things that God wants you to get rid of. Because why? You now understand and you feel there's a call on your life. And there are many of you listening to this tape today. You know God's hand is upon your life. You feel it within your heart. God has a specific call. God has a plan for my life. You feel like you've been chosen for a divine mission. It's something in particular God has saved you to do for Him. Well, what God is going to do, He's going to draw you from the company, in many cases, that you might be keeping, that's distracting you, and that's pulling you from getting closer to Him. Remember this. God don't want you with nothing or no one that's drawing you from Him, regardless of who it is. God would either draw you from that or draw that from you. or fix their soul, what you was accustomed to getting, you can't get no more. And it's the reason. Because now, he wants your undivided attention focused on him. On you seeking to know in detail. And listen, you may feel God has called you for a divine mission. God is not overnight going to show you everything you're supposed to do. As the prophet Hosea said, then shall you know if you follow on to know the Lord. You're going to know in detail as you go on. God is going to show you in bits and pieces what he has ordained for your life to do as you show him that you're interested. That's another key. You may feel God has called you for something. But remember this. God will not reveal nothing to you until you show him the interest. You have to hunger and thirst after him. Not so much doing something for him. God wants you to hunger and thirst after him. Once you come after him, he in turn begins to reveal to you what he chose you for. So number one, God calls you, which means to separate. He's preparing you. Number two, then God commissions you, which means to instruct you as to what you're going to do. I want you to notice something in chapter 3, verse 10 of Exodus. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. No. The call came in Exodus chapter 3, verse 4. The commission. Come now, therefore, in verse 10, I will send thee. God is now instructing Moses as to what he's going to do and the location he's going to go, being commissioned. Number 3, God then empowers your life, which means to give you his spirit and anointing and authority to do what he called you and commissioned you for. Look at Exodus chapter 4. And I want you to see verses 4. And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thy hand and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. Notice, this rod Moses had that he cast on the ground, and it became a serpent. When God told him to put forth his hand and take it, God was giving him authority to do this through him. Apart from God telling Moses to do this, if you notice, Moses ran. But God told Moses to come back and take this serpent by the tail. That's showing the authority God is now giving to Moses to do what he's now called and commissioned Moses to do. See, God calls you, then God commissions you, then God empowers your life for what he called and commissioned you for. But now remember, this comes over a process of time. As you continue to seek God, as you consecrate your life, as you turn your plate over, as you stay in the Word, God is preparing you. Yet remember, you may feel a call for divine mission. You may feel God's hand is upon your life. You might not know in detail right now. And then in many cases, you might know exactly what God wants you to do. But remember, God is a God of timing. But when the fullness of time come, remember, God did not send Jesus until the fullness of time had come. God knows exactly where you at. See, God watches your faithfulness. God watches your commitment. God sees your obedience to the leader that he has placed you under. All of this has a tremendous role in the divine mission that you may be chosen by God to do in it actually being fulfilled in your life. Because if you don't obey the shepherd that God placed over you, you can feel God's hand upon your life. God cannot use you if you're not subject to the shepherd he placed you under. If you're not obedient to Bible study, if you're not faithful in the small things, like attending Bible study, attending prayer meeting, being faithful in your tithing. All of this is a part of you being prepared for the divine mission you may feel God is calling you to do. So I think I needed to bring that out, because oftentimes we may feel like God's hand is upon my life, which is good. But you need to understand, being a believer, God has a process that He's going to bring you through as a believer before He begins to use you to do anything for Him. Because remember, you want to be your best for God. You don't want to go nowhere and be embarrassed. You don't want to turn people off by misrepresenting the one who you say sent you. Because I see this often, how people are turning so many people off with Jesus, where they're becoming disgusted. They don't want to hear nothing about the Bible. Because you have poor misrepresentatives out there who are so unprepared, and they're becoming a reproach to the kingdom. Instead of people wanting to give their life to Jesus, they're avoiding people. Because why? That person have not waited. See, you may feel a call in your life, but see, zeal without knowledge is dangerous. You could have a zeal to want to do something for God, but remember, God has to bring you through a process. He has to develop your tolerance. He has to develop your patience, your long-suffering with people. Sometimes people not going to handle you right. All of that's a part of your development. And God ought a test to come your way for the call He have in your life. Because when you're dealing with people, your greatest trials are going to come through people. So now, sometimes people may rub you wrong. See, God watches how you deal with them. He's not so much looking at what they're doing you. Especially when God got a call on your life, He's trying to see if you're growing. And you see, if you handle something rightly, in a right and godly manner, God said, well, I could cause you to come up a little more. I could entrust you to do some more. But if somebody just roughing you up and you turn around and rough them back, God said, I got to work on you in that area some more. Oh, yeah, see, God is constantly working on us. And even though we might be preaching the word, there's still areas in our lives as ministers that God is still developing us in. There is no perfect person on this globe. Regardless of how anointed we may be, God is still working on us all. And God will continue to work on us until we leave this world. So we might as well just stay at the potter's house and allow God to make us, shape us, and mold us into the vessels He ordained for us to be, so that He alone gets all the glory out of our lives. So remember, we're dealing with chosen for a divine mission. We deal with being called. God called Moses in Exodus 3 and 4. Exodus 3:10, God commissioned him. Exodus 4 and 4, God now empowered him. But now look at this. Look at Exodus 4 and 19. And the Lord said unto Moses in Midian, go, return into Egypt. Now God is sending him. He's being released after the process. I hope you're seeing this. God, first of all, calls. He then commissions. He instructs you. He then empowers you. And then He sends you. He tells you where to go. Notice, go return into Egypt. Go return into Egypt. The location in which I want you to go. And when you get there, there's a word I place in you because of all of your studying my word. Because of your praying, because of your seeking me, when you get to the place, the location that I will tell you I want you at, you in turn will then speak that word to the people, because that people in that place has been prepared for that word that's in you. Chosen for a divine mission. And note this. And the Lord said unto Moses in Midian, go, return unto Egypt, for all the men are there which sought thy life. Now God got out of the way, those who was looking for Moses. But our teaching deals with chosen for a divine mission. And back in Acts chapter 9, as I come to a close, I want you to understand this. See, because there's many of you listening to me. You're chosen by God. You're marked for the kingdom. That's why you're different. That's why you're an oddball. That's why you don't fit in everywhere you go. That's why many places you go, you just can't be comfortable there. Because God has a call in your life. You've been chosen for a divine mission. There's something in particular God wants you to do. Many of you know what it is, but many of you still are searching to find it out. And then many of you really don't care about it. Well, I hope to pray to God that your attitude would change, that you would recognize that God wants to use you. Because there are people that are still in the stuff God saved you from. And you're the best one that God can use, because since you know about what they're doing, because you've been there, God can use you to reach those that are still bound by what God set you free from. See, you are a great testimony to the kingdom. If you've been bound by drugs, if you've been bound by homosexuality, if you've been bound by whatever it might be, there are people you know that are still in the world bound by those same things. If you get before God and seek Him and humble yourself before Him, commit your life to Him, go after God to find out, what is it, Lord, that you call me to do? What is it that I'm saved for? What is this divine mission you have purposed for my life? Listen, everybody is not called to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. But get this, when you get saved, you're called to be a witness. You have a testimony. You don't need a license to minister to nobody. You don't need to have a PhD or a degree in divinity to minister to somebody. You've been saved and you've been set free. Your testimony, you telling somebody what you used to do and how Jesus changed your life, that can cause somebody's life to change. So you see, you don't even need a whole lot of scriptures to be a testimony or witness for the kingdom. Just tell what Jesus saved you from and how He wants to save them. And as you continue to do this, this causes you to grow. The more you witness, the more you grow. The more you share with somebody else what Jesus saved you from, the more you grow. Your confidence grows. Your faith grows. Your boldness in Him grows. Your ability to minister to people grows. You're actually growing as you talk to people. But if you never share with nobody what Jesus saved you from, you can never become developed where God can use you to minister to people. So God starts you off small. Give your testimony as to what He saved you from. That'll draw people to the King. Because remember, your testimony is based on the Word. You gave your heart to Jesus. Tell them how you gave your heart to Jesus. And let them know that Jesus can save them, because if He saved you, He can save anybody. Take it personal. Look at it. Tell them, Jesus saved me. And if He saved me, honey, He can save you. They need to know that. See, and you may feel you're chosen for a divine mission. I admonish you today, saints of God. Those of you listening to me, you know God's hand is upon your life. Many of you have been running from God. You've been rebellious. You've been back out there in the world. You just won't commit your life to Him so He can actually do in your life what's needed. Look at it like this. Time is short. Time is winding down. It's not winding up. We about to leave this world. The rapture can take place any moment. Why don't you stop playing church and get real and tell Jesus you're sorry for ignoring Him and realize, Lord, I feel Your hand upon my life. I feel You have a divine mission and purpose in mind for me. And allow the Lord to do in your life what He needs to do. In Acts chapter 9, as I come to a close, look at verse 15 again. But the Lord said unto Ananias, go thy way, for Paul is a chosen vessel unto me. See, Jesus was telling Ananias about Saul, who later became Paul, that he was a chosen vessel. Notice, he was chosen for divine mission. You're not just chosen to be chosen. You're chosen for a purpose in God's mind. And note this. Look at the purpose. To bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. Three groups of people. The Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. Saints of God, you never know where Jesus wants to take you. You never know the people He wants to use you to reach. Only if you get yourself together. And I'm going to pray at this time. Because I feel there are many of you listening to me. You know you've been called. You know there's a divine call upon your life. You might not know in detail what it is. But I'm going to pray with you. That God will reveal to you His will for your life. And then you will pursue after Him. That you can find out what exactly He saved you for. Gracious Father, in Jesus' name, I come to you, Lord, thanking you for your word. And I thank you for touching my brother, touching my sister that's listening to this message. God, you see those that's pulling at you even now, those that's hungering to know what is your will for them. They're not satisfied just sitting in a church building. They realize, Father, there's more to being saved than just going to a church building. They want to now move from church work to kingdom work. Father, I ask you today that you restore them, revive them, reveal your perfect will for my brothers and my sisters. Open their eyes that they may see. Give them a hunger to come after you. Give them a thirst in their souls to draw nigh to you, that you may draw nigh to them. And Father, I ask you that you would bless those who know their call. That you would anoint them with fresh oil. That they will fulfill the call upon their life. And God, those who are undecided as to what they're going to do, I'm asking that you open their hearts, open their minds, give them an understanding, Lord, of the time that we're in. That you have a purpose for their life. And Father, in Jesus' name, I give you glory. I give you praise for ministering to your people, encouraging them and instructing them. And I thank you for your word being a blessing to their life, your word enlightening them and strengthening them and showing them what they must do. And Father, I give you glory for it right now in the mighty and glorious name of Jesus. Chosen for a divine mission. Remember, saints of God, you're not saved just to go to heaven, but you're saved with an eternal purpose in mind. And I admonish you to get before God, to lay on your face. If you got to fast and pray, do that. Show God that you're serious to know what is His will for your life. And go after God with all that's in you. And I guarantee God will begin to show you exactly what you're saved for. And then God will begin to give you what you need to do what He has called you to do. May God bless you and may God keep you. Is our prayer.